the Rule of Threes Podcast. The Rule of Threes Podcast. It's the Rule of Threes Podcast with Chris and Casey.
It's the Rule of Threes Podcast. I'm Chris Grace.
I'm Casey Lawrence.
It is Monday, November 19th, 2018.
And it's burning in D.C.
Yes.
Not just California. It's burning in D.C. Burn it down. The wizards are imploding.
Every single wizard is up for trade.
Yeah.
As far as I can tell, right?
That's the reports coming out of Washington.
Yeah.
Is that after another heated practice, which honestly seems like there's been quite a few of those this season.
Yeah.
Heated practices. People,
after John Wall said, fuck you to Scott Brooks.
Yeah, Scott Brooks, you take that. Fuck you, man.
you take that.
What the fuck are they going to do?
Trade everybody, I guess.
I mean, but how? How do you trade everybody on that team?
I don't know.
Like, yes, people will trade for Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal's good. If he was in a different place, I would trade for Bradley Beal if I was another GM, right?
Otto Porter, I think people would trade for.
He has had a bad season, and people are looking at his contract and going, ooh, I don't know.
Yeah.
People want to trade for Oubre.
They do want to trade for Oubre?
Yeah,
sure. He's got your back in a fight.
Yes. And he's going to look great walking into your stadium every night.
John Wall. Will people trade for John Wall?
That's the tough thing, right? Because John Wall is good. I'm not going to sit here and say John Wall is not good.
No, but he's kind of a punk.
And his contract is miserable.
Right.
Miserable.
How many years left?
It's like four more years after this one, because he had the extension.
Right.
So his pay is bumped next season. You're going to be paying him $40 million a year through...
Lordy, lordy. Yeah. Look who's making $40 million. yeah, so it's like an early preview. It's like a Chris Paul of future past.
Yeah. Oh, man. And, you know, the tough thing is that it's going to be really hard to match money for a trade for John Wall because of the weird discrepancy in his contract with the amount of money he's making this year and the amount of money he's making next year.
You have to match like the next year's salary or current salary?
You have to match the current salary, but there is a trading provision for a poison pill contract, which is what he has.
Uh-huh.
So it's there's a lot of complications. It's tough to trade for John Wall's contract.
Okay. Because, I mean, the Wizards should probably just go full tank mode at this point.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
I mean, so, who on their team is good and is like a building block for the future right now?
Well, the thing is, talent-wise, John Wall.
John Wall. Okay.
Personality-wise, anybody but John Wall.
Yeah.
And it's not new. I mean, he's been kind of a jerk his entire career, honestly.
I mean, because like you don't hear that, you know, you didn't hear that before this season from his teammates.
You heard it from me.
I did. And I kind of pushed back on this in the summer because my buddy lives out there and goes to their games and
right.
was telling me about, you know, what's going on with them. I feel like I got my face in the mud on this one. Because
I mean, I have never felt good about John Wall. And I think I mentioned this in a very early episode. But ever since there's a YouTube video of him beating a high school player one-on-one, you know, a high school prospect, but still a high school player when he was in the pros. A kid talked trash to him and he beat him one-on-one, and his demeanor in that YouTube video is just like, this guy's an asshole. Like, he takes such relish in defeating like a 17-year-old.
Yeah.
And by the way, he travels on his last play.
A travel truther highlight.
Yes. Sad footnote, the player he beat is now dead. That kid died.
Very sad.
Not because of that, but like, it's just his... The way you want like pros to treat like summer campers is not what the way he acts in that video.
Yeah, that's very fair.
You know, it's fun to see like Isaiah Thomas, you know, the original Isaiah Thomas, like beat 5-year olds at 101 because that's like whatever.
Like, and like to see really tall basketball players just swat shots that go up by
little kids. Yes, because that's not a real. Everyone's laughing. It's hilarious. But to like to take genuine competitive relish in beating someone who's a high school student.
I mean, you know, you when you talk about Tim Hardaway Jr., you hear about the stories about how he used to play in the summer against the pros when he was, you know, a kid living in Miami because he had the connection. And like, that's part of his story, is that he like fought with these guys to play and played and got whooped. But like, it helped make him a better player.
I think, first of all, didn't help make him a good enough player.
He's not worth his contract, but that's, I don't care about that.
There's something, that's not quite what I'm mostly talking about is things like when DeMar DeRozan, like, beat a high school kid off of 101 and then handed him the ball this past summer.
Yeah.
It's like, where does this, it actually makes you look weak to do stuff like that.
Yeah.
To a high school player.
That's fair. I mean, but and also,
when they were beating Tim Hardaway Jr., they were not, they might have been talking shit to him, but they were not, like, stoking their egos off of beating the son of Tim Hardaway.
Yeah, I was there. There's something there's something different to me about, you know, the type of person that it takes to be that competitive, right? Uh-huh. Like, I'm not that person. I know I'm not that person. But I feel like to be in the NBA, sometimes it feels like you have to be that type of person about your own basketball skills.
Right? I think that the truly great competitors also have a sense of what they're capable of. So like when Michael Jordan got beat by a middle-aged man at that famous camp.
Yeah.
You know, like
I've watched that video on YouTube.
That was just, he knew it was just a great moment for that guy. And like, you know, it wasn't, he's not threatened at all by that. You know?
No, he's not threatened.
To your point, you know, like there's lots of stories about, you know, Kobe generating, you know, like, you know, you put a quote on the wall from the other team and finding motivations and stuff like that. But I guess what it is there seems to be a difference when I perceive great competitors as like finding those motivations when they're by themselves practicing and stuff like that. And then someone like John Wall, kind of like not practicing over the summer, getting fat, and then like whipping a high school player to make himself feel better.
Yeah. I mean, when you frame it that way, that doesn't sound good at all.
And it's, I don't perceive John Wall as a great competitor in the league, like moment to moment. Like there aren't tons of great like showdowns between him and so and so.
I mean, you know, back
we had a decent Kyrie Kawhi showdown this past weekend.
Yes, John Wall had that competitive edge years ago.
Yeah,
right. Because I mean, he's not a fresh chicken anymore.
He's got incredible stats in some of his seasons.
Yeah, and I mean, back in those seasons, you know, when there was the big Cleveland Washington rivalries, right? And not like great Cleveland Washington, but like they'd play games together where it was like, this is a good game and they're putting it on each other.
Am I wrong in that there were some playoffs where it was like the Wizards gave the best run against the Cavs in a particular year?
I remember, that was probably before John Wall.
Okay.
I think that was like
Gilbert.
Like the Gilbert years, right?
I'm sorry, Caron Agent Puller. Zero.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, nobody here is talking smack about Gilbert Arenas.
I love Gilbert Arenas, guns He's and all,
amazing.
also, decidedly crazy.
At one of my old jobs, I used to keep a box of basketball cards on my desk, and two cards that I kept very close to each other were my Gilbert Arenas and Javaris Crittenden card.
Oh,
so I could just, you know, remember to stay humble and to not bring guns to work.
Two thoughts about my state of mind in tonight's podcast. One is that I'm mentally still in Palm Springs.
Yeah, I mean, and you're going back tomorrow.
Yeah, so I'm supposed to be in Palm Springs this whole week of Thanksgiving, but these are first world problems. And then I have been called in to do an audition tomorrow. So I had to drive home. I'm going to do an audition that will last 90 seconds.
Yeah.
And then I'm driving back to Palm Springs.
Can you read for the part of guy who wants to be in Palm Springs?
Yeah. That I can read for. The second thing is, while I was waiting for Casey, we do, most of the time we record this, we do this in my garage. So I left the gate open and I left the garage door open. And then I thought I heard your car. It wasn't your car. And I was reading I was reading the standings. And then into the garage walked a small gray cat. And it scared the shit out of me.
That was me. I just transformed into a cat.
I actually did think that for a second. We have this gray cat that kind of like wants to live with us. So he or she, I used to leave our front door open and let my cats, they can wander in the front yard. They don't run away. So I used to do that, especially like in the summer. And, one time the two cats came back in and a third gray cat followed them in as if that cat just belonged in the house.
That and I was cat like, lives there too?
Yeah, I was like, what are you doing? And that was the same cat tonight.
Whoa.
Wants to be a part of this whole vibe.
Well, I mean, hey, we got a good vibe in here. Yeah. This is a,
unless you're saying that is your familiar form.
No, I mean, I am wearing a gray
that
shirt.
That is true, this, yeah.
You know, these
if
are the facts.
That cat had like the words Mustang football across its torso.
Yeah, 100%.
So what's, you know, you expressed something before we started recording tonight, which is you wanted to talk about how close the West is.
Yeah.
I had a similar thought, which is, I kind of have this desire to, I want the West to kind of resolve itself.
I mean, because it's exhausting.
I want it to figure out who's good. Like, just tell me which teams are good.
Okay. I mean, we're going to go through 1 through 14.
Okay.
We're going to say, is this team good or is this team bad?
Okay. Because right now it's hard to tell. And even teams before that we were like, this team's doing well. Some of them have slumped off.
Yes, they have.
Some teams have had little resurgences.
Yeah.
You know, the Lakers are doing okay.
Yeah.
You know, some teams that we thought were dominating all the way to the ring this year are having a little bit of a hiccup.
Yeah. So let's go through 1
from the West.
14 from the West.
Okay.
All right. And the team in first place in the West is
the Portland Trailblazers.
That is correct. By a technicality of having played less games.
They're
the same number of games above 500 as the Warriors. Or at least they were at the beginning.
Right now, they are tied. In win-loss, they're tied with Memphis and L.A. I don't know if this reflects tonight's games or not.
Got it.
But there must be some other tiebreaker. Like, I believe from looking at this, their conference record is better.
Oh.
Than the other two teams. But yeah, Portland is 11-5. They are in first place. Is this team, Casey Lawrence, good or not good?
Portland is good.
Agree.
All right. Portland has had some really good contributions from their very, very young front court.
Yeah. I mean, there's just one team they can't figure out, but
yeah,
you know what?
Hey, we'll see if they can try to defeat LeBron and his amazing Lakers.
They would be 13-3 if they had picked off those two games.
That's true. Yeah. But if they had lost the first one, then they'd only be 10-6. And, you know, that's not even, I guess it is.
But in the West, that's shitty.
No. Yeah, it's very bad.
11-5, you're incredible. You're top of the heap. 10-6, you suck.
Yeah. I mean, that's truly the wild thing about it this week.
Just to point out, how many teams are in the West?
15.
15. 1 through 14 is separated by 5 games in the loss column, which is crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts. Yes, we're early, but we're still 17 games in, and in the East, it's no such thing. I think that in Portland's case, they're getting really good years from both Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, but also good years from Zach Collins, who is their second-year big man, really, truly having a great season. Nurkic is playing well, playing motivated. I don't know. I think the recipe for success is getting cooked in Portland.
They are second in the league in on Basketball Reference's a simple rating system.
Ah.
Which is a decent way of seeing sort of how strong teams are.
Yeah.
It's a combination, I believe, of their scoring differential, and there's a little bit of that might be all there. The scoring differential plus something else. I can't remember now.
Yeah.
What it is.
Probably strength of schedule.
I believe it is strength of schedule. Yeah. So, yeah, they're top of the heap in the West in that set, and second only to the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah.
Who are sitting on a staggering 12 simple rating. Like, just to give you an example, other years where like the Lakers have dominated, if you're in the double digits in the simple rating system, if they stay in double digits through Christmas, almost every team that has been like top of the heap like that through Christmas has been a conference finalist at the end of the year. So Portland Trailblazers, number one, you believe they are good. I would tend to agree with you there.
Yep.
Number two.
Yep.
The Memphis Grizzlies.
My team.
Good pick, Casey.
Yes. I feel so good about this early season takeaway.
Yeah.
No surprise. I'm going out on a limb and saying the Memphis Grizzlies are good.
I'm a little more skeptical about
them. Of course. Of course.
I think that they are... and I'm only a little bit skeptical of them because, like, for example, their differential isn't great. Like, they're winning some games that are very close.
Yeah.
So Their win loss might be a little higher than normal.
Nobody is scoring less points than the teams that have played Memphis.
Mm.
That is, they are per game the best defense in the league, which is not, you know, I know that per possession the Celtics have a better defense, but that being said,
I mean, they have a good defense. Their defensive rating is fourth in the league.
Yeah, I mean, they're winning because their defense is good.
Yeah. In a year that seems, you know, that has been, offense has kind of been the story this year.
Yeah.
So, you know, I have been thinking, like, relevant to my thoughts last week about who's shooting terribly, is there a general league thing of just like, let's not play defense and let everybody shoot? And then occasionally in your schedule, you hit a team that's like, oh, no, we are going to play defense.
We're going to play some D.
And then you're like, fuck. Didn't you get the like message? We're just being Globetrotters this
year. Come on. It's early. Just let me just get out of bed and shoot a couple of threes.
I bet there's a big social, not pressure, but like, I bet there's some games where there's an expectation of like, man, are you really playing defense? Really gonna, like, you're trying this game? Yeah. Like, it's cool to try just like by shoot. In a way, like.
It's cool to try sounds like a school PSA that you get like a group of rapping teens to come in and do, hey man, it's cool to try, gotta get the ball, gotta make them cry, we're playing some defense, we're ready to go, Habes party people, let's do this, faux show.
It's cool to try, but not drugs.
No, never.
This is my thought, actually. Yes, it's annoying when someone hits a three-pointer, right? But a team just jacking a bunch of threes and making them isn't really like individually ego damaging the way like a bunch of dunks would be.
Yeah.
So I mean,
that's part of the NBA's like commercials this year. Like, what's better, the dunk or the three?
Yeah.
That's how they sell league pass to people.
I wonder if there's like an old man thing of just like, just shoot threes. Like, I'm not going to guard you that hard.
Listen, we're just going to play 3-point line to 3-point line. Okay, it's fine. It's like we're hanging out.
In March and April, then we'll start playing for real.
Yeah.
And then along comes teams probably like the Celtics, where they're all motivated like a college team. And you're just like, this team's a fucking pain in the ass. And I wonder if sometimes, like, about a third of the way through the game, you just check out and you're just like, I just let them have this.
I mean, I'm going to call you out. It sounds to me like you are ascribing the NBA haters playbook to a single game to the entire season. Because the NBA haters playbook is nothing matters until the fourth quarter.
Oh, that's just, yeah.
Right? Like anybody who says
I'm applying that to the entire season?
Yes. Yeah.
No, I'm wondering if veteran players do that.
Yeah. You're wondering, but like, you know, where does wonder come from? It comes from your heart. Wonder comes from the stars. Because, you know, just wondering that is like a little NBA hater logic that's seeping into your brain.
Right. You know, mean, well, yeah, it's sort of against what I said last week, is like teams should be focusing, like picking off the games that they should be winning now.
Yeah.
Because there is a thing like the similar, I feel like it's more baseball cliche, but like they won the games when they mattered.
Yeah.
It's like, they matter now. We're keeping track of them. Yes, so for playoff position, they do.
Every game matters until they don't matter.
But there seems to be in basketball sometimes a feel of like just get into the playoffs and then we'll go from there. That seems to be more a thing. Now that I think about it, most sports, I feel like teams don't seem to care that much about seeding anymore in anything except the NCAA.
Okay, yeah, is a little bit based on the fact that really only four teams in football matter and, like, 20 teams in basketball matter, you know, at the end of the year.
And so many non-number one seeds in basketball have been in the finals.
Yeah.
Anyway, this all comes off of the idea, is Memphis good?
Yes, Memphis is good. Mike Conley, he's back. Okay, Mark Gasol has been playing well. Uh-huh. Their team works. And, like, they have a bunch of weird pieces. Garrett Temple.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Shelvin Mack, backup point guard, who has been really good for them this season. You know, they poached Kyle Anderson from the Spurs.
Do you think they're Pacers West?
I mean, if anything,
grit, Pacers, hustle team.
Pacers are Grizzlies West. Well, the Grizzlies Pacers are Grizzlies East.
Are the Grizzlies 2017 Pacers West, is okay. What I mean.
Yes,
like,
got it.
Gritty team that will be a pain in the ass in the playoffs, doesn't really necessarily have the talent to like make it over the hump.
I mean, you absolutely can say that about Memphis, but you can also say it about the next team.
Oh boy. A team that you're very happy to talk about because you love their in-arena experience.
I am going to die on this hill.
You will literally die on this hill and a DJ will pop up.
Oh, and
mix
no.
in a Steve Aoki.
Yeah, and then they're going to have a person asking questions about Japanese culture to fans who have been fed the results of the quiz.
Is that something they really did?
Yes. Oh yeah. I mean, it was Japanese-American Heritage Day on the same day that it was Serbian-American Heritage Day.
Uh-huh.
And it, like, truly, worst in-arena segment of entertainment I've ever seen in my life.
Well, it doesn't matter because the Clippers are 11-5.
And get this. The Clippers are good.
Yeah.
And it pains me to say that because I was not expecting them to be good.
Do you think they're the best team in Los Angeles?
You know, if we're just looking at the numbers. but, no, I mean, seriously, they're not a joke. The Clippers are not a joke. They're a tough out. Teams play the Clippers, and the Clippers play them hard.
Does this mean that Doc Rivers can coach?
Oh, fuck. I mean, I didn't want to have to answer these hard questions.
We're painted in a lot of weird corners so far this season, such as can Doc Rivers coach? You know,
I mean, yeah, because like you look at their roster, right? And it's a bunch of people who you're like, oh, that guy's pretty good. And then that's it. There's nobody who's like, oh my God, I got to build a team around this
They
guy.
Literally don't have a single player that I would consider a star.
No, they don't. And they're doing like, all
they
of
don't
this
even have a, they don't have a single player as good as Klay Thompson, who I don't really consider a star.
No, like Lou Williams is not as good as Klay Thompson. Yeah, I agree with you. Tobias Harris, he's like not as good as Chris Middleton.
Patrick Beverley is not as good as Rondo.
Rondo? No, he's better than Rondo.
How's this Shai Gilgeous kid?
He's playing really well. He moved into the starting lineup. Recently, and so he has been playing well with them, and I'm like, I think it was a good draft pick. I'm just putting my hands up. You know, I've got my hands up in the studio because I don't know what to make of this team of all players who are B players.
Right? Danilo is not as good as he used
Millsap?
To be.
I don't, you know.
And Machine.
The Machine. The Polish Hammer is his actual nickname. The Machine was Sasha Vujicic, so don't get it twisted.
I'm just going by his name is Machine.
Oh.
Machine.
Okay, all right. Okay.
Okay, you're going to use his name.
Boban, okay? So, Montrezl Harrell, who is like the biggest spark plug in the league right now. We haven't even talked about, I guess we did talk about Lou Williams. But
I mention last week that the joke I heard about the Clippers at an open mic?
Yes, you did. Yeah, okay. Yeah, we talked about open mic Clippers night, and okay. that there was a bunch of, and that it, like brought the house down. People were very happy.
Well, I talked about Lakers.
Yes,
that brought the house down.
Yes,
but then somebody mentioned that the other guy who has a NBA podcast, he did his set, and he mentioned since we're talking about basketball, I think it's very funny that the Clippers this year have a great record and they are actually good. And still no one in L.A. gives a shit.
Nobody gives a shit. Nobody wants to go to the games. The games are so cheap. I'll make my way to a Clippers game sometime this year.
Well, I have tickets to Clippers Celtics in whatever. So
great.
Yeah. I only bought that because my husband is from the New England area. And just out of nowhere said, I'd like to see a Celtics game. And I was like, what? Also, his parents root for the Patriots and the Red Sox. So.
You know, it's tough, but, you know, they're your in-laws.
Well, did the Patriots win last year?
They did not. The Eagles won last year. They beat
the Patriots. Win 2 years ago?
Patriots did win 2 years ago.
When the Patriots won, I don't really care about football. I tried to start rooting for them because of my in-laws.
Oh, no. Oh, honey, no.
Well, it makes them very happy when they win. So I was like, well, this is nice. At least now I have a connection to it. And I still have a hard time rooting for them.
Yeah, because of the Patriots.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Who's next? A real team of scrubs.
Team of scrubs. Somebody, they don't have their stuff together. The Golden State Warriors.
The Golden State Warriors. Obviously, they're a good team.
They're a good team.
And so now we basically all have to take back all the stuff about, like, what a fun season they're having.
Yeah, because it is not
now that's
fun
all
anymore.
Done.
It is now just messy. It's a messy drama land. And I don't know what it will take other than like a 6-game winning streak where Steph is healthy to make it feel like they're doing well. Because they lost 3 straight games in Texas. Houston, Dallas,
they lost the whole San Antonio, basically.
And like that trip is always a miserable trip for teams. Every team who does that trip is like, ugh, I got to get through this, and yes, it's hard. That being said, it shouldn't have been 0-3. Like,
no,
that's a failure on their part.
That is a failure. How many of those games was Steph in?
None. He didn't play in any.
He didn't play in the very last one? No. So he hasn't played at all.
He has not played. He's not going to play for another week or so.
Oh. I thought he came back.
No, he went on the trip with them to babysit.
Right. So
they're good. We've devoted a lot of time to talking about the Warriors. I don't think that we need to talk about, like, that they're still good.
Yeah, and we don't need to. I mean, like, if they're missing Steph, it's, you know, by the way, this is all good for Steph's MVP campaign this year. Because I will say, in his absence, Durant is not playing great.
No, he's had a couple of, biffed a couple of games.
Yeah.
A lot of people are pointing to the, like, with Curry and without Durant, the Warriors are like 15 games above 500 in their career.
With
and
Durant, without Curry.
They're like at 500. They're not.
I mean, if I was a Warriors fan, which we're not, I might be particularly annoyed with Draymond.
Yeah.
For, there's a certain responsibility you take when you are the crazy spark plug that, unless you want to be a person that everyone has to handle, like Rodman, you take a little bit of responsibility for, like, you've also kind of be able to be cool, you know, especially when a player's out. You can't have this, you can't, the fact that he drew the lines of, like, we're old school Warriors and you're not, is not great.
Not great. That is a weird line. I don't know why you draw that line other than, like,
especially when you were the one that texted him to come.
Yeah. Ooh, that was rough.
So I'm sure they'll sort it out. It's not a great look. They're still 12-6. So like for like, what a shit year they're having. They lost 3 in a row. It's like, kind of like, doesn't really matter.
Yeah. They're going to be fine. They're a good team.
They'll be fine. And they don't really need home court advantage necessarily. Like, you would say, last year, they went to 7 against Houston. They won the game 7 in Houston, right?
Yes.
So it home court does matter, but like this year, there might not be a team where it matters that much. Yeah. Like, I don't see, as close as all these Western Conference teams are, I don't see a team that's like last year's Houston team so far.
No.
That's really going to like put the fear of God into everybody else. You know, you could have argued until very recently that this next team was the hottest team in the league.
Yeah.
And then they lost to the Kings tonight.
I mean, you know, you're here's the quick hint preview for those of you who are trying to keep tally. Going to be a lot of good teams here.
Yeah.
This next team is one of them, Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City.
Paul George has been on fire. They just got Russell Westbrook back.
Mm.
They are a team that has shaken off their slow start. They're ready to go.
They were 9-1 in their last 10.
Yeah, until today.
Through to the Kings.
Ugh.
Blech. The Kings also, who have been falling back after a strong start.
Falling back a little, but, like, you know, what is falling back in this sea where everybody's trying to kick and scream at the surface?
Yeah. So Oklahoma City, I'm going to reserve judgment. I haven't seen enough of them. I know they have good players, but, like, for me to call a team a good team in the West is, I guess, do you think they can really threaten for the conference finals?
So I think the thing that is good about them, and that it was something they were missing last year, is I think Schroeder is playing well for them. Schroeder has been good, and the
I have always liked Dennis Schroeder.
Yeah.
I always identify with outsiders.
Yeah.
Is he German?
He is German. He likes to skateboard.
I kind of identify with players that old school players don't like a lot of people dislike him.
Yes. Yeah.
And that almost makes me like a player sometimes.
That is fair and correct.
Yeah.
I mean, Steven Adams is having a great year. Mm-hmm. Paul George has been having a good year. I think that this team is a team that, you know, will have a chance to win against anybody on any night. Uh-huh. But then also put up some stinkers. So they're not like, they're not great, but I think they're a good team. And I think that, you know, we're going to keep hearing about them.
They are, they're part of, so like, as we mentioned before, the Wizards are kind of falling apart ahead of schedule, but I would say Oklahoma City's close to a, after this year, like, what are we doing kind of?
Nope.
No, not with nope. Billy D?
No. The reason I feel that way is because both Paul George and Russell Westbrook are under contract for
I just mean years. With Billy D.
You mean just, like, is he a good coach? Should we keep him? Or should we try to hire the next Dwayne Casey that gets fired?
And, yeah, what is our philosophy? And by Billy D, I mean Billy D. Williams.
Yes. Lando needs to know.
Yeah. No, I don't know. Just, there are some teams, like, I guess you could say with them, they've had so many roster changes that you don't quite know what they are. But him and Doc Rivers, like, some of the, I can understand why an owner with a long tenured coach like a Thibodeau, after a while, just be like, I just wanted someone new. Like,
yeah.
Fucking fire these guys.
Yeah.
And what's the thing is, if Oklahoma City ends up making a strong push and the Clippers make a strong push, it's like, I mean, if Doc makes it into the top four of the West with his team, he's coach of the year.
Yeah.
So anyway, is he good? Are they good? You say they're good. I say we'll see.
Inconclusive. Next up is Denver.
Denver, they're not good.
Denver is... Denver is a team that I think that is a natural rival for our Los Angeles Lakers fandom.
Yes.
And so I'm like want to say that they're not good. I also, man, Jokic is a weird player.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird how he doesn't play any defense. It's weird how he'll disappear off the face of the earth.
Would you say it's quirky?
I you know, yeah, I feel like he's just kind of like, I don't know, he's like my manic pixie rangy center.
What a quirk.
I don't know. I don't get it. And the rest of their team has not been playing as well as their hot
spot. They actually have a very good defensive rating.
Yeah, overall, but it's minus Jokic. Jokic is not somebody who
has. But that means that like the rest of their team are like plus defenders.
Yeah.
Which, you know, as previously mentioned, is surprising to me.
Yeah.
But it's funny because that is my perception of them, which is not true based on this defensive rating. But like my perception of them is that they're a very skilled offensive team that eventually people will figure out and in a series will be easily figured out.
Yeah.
And, when he's on the court, like it's hard to defend and he's kind of like so often seems gassed in a way that he has to come off the court anyway.
Yeah.
Like, so it's interesting to not be able to play yourself into shape after, I mean, he's not a new, his third year, maybe
it's his fourth year,
Yeah. So that's interesting to me. Yeah. Do you think he has a body that's impossible to work into shape in the summers? Ooh. Or?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a tough one because like,
I also don't know what his game would look like if he was, you know.
Yeah, like a little more skinny. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what that would bring to his game except maybe just being able to stay on the court longer.
Yeah.
And because I don't know that him being in shape would make him a better defender. I don't think it would.
I mean, you know, he's going to play. And also, you know, maybe just being up in Mile High. That's a big thing too, yeah, right?
That's true. I think that Jokic has a good potential for like being in the league for 20 years.
Yeah. Also, because like, he doesn't put a ton of minutes on his body because he can't play that long. Like, what other player who has as much clout around the league plays less than 30 minutes
a game? He's at 29 right now.
Right.
They have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They have 6 players in double digits per game.
I mean, go them.
Oh, wait. This one is... No, they do. They have 6... I don't even know who Trey Lyles is.
Oh, Trey Lyles.
He's averaging 11 points a game.
That's right.
So do you think they're good?
I think they are good. Yes, I do think they're good. I expect them to be fighting all year.
Okay.
So I think they're good.
The New Orleans Pelicans.
New Orleans Pelicans are good as hell, baby.
Yeah?
Yes. Oh, yeah. The New Orleans Pelicans are good specifically for this reason. They get fucking buckets. Mm-hmm. Like, their offense hums when it hums.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You get fucking Randall, Davis,
Randall,
Mirotić.
Very good game the other night.
You know, it's a bit of a bummer that their starting point guard went down. But they still have Jrue Holiday, who can take it up for a bit.
Yeah.
They're a good team. Defensively, they're fine. But, I mean, they're good.
My feeling about what I've watched of them is that, obviously, Anthony Davis is transcendent. And I think the rest of the team is okay.
Yeah.
They actually don't have a great defense, and they play at a really fast pace. So I feel like they're one of the like globe-trotting teams.
Yeah.
I feel like you go to them, and it's like a fun night to play against them. Because everybody gets to get their shots up, basically.
Yeah.
But I love AD.
He's so
good. Do you think they're at a, what are we doing this year if we don't do well with him kind of year? Or is he like that at the end of this
year? I mean, at this point, because his contract is through next year.
Yeah.
He can't opt out until the year after this year.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you do whatever you can to keep AD. That's just the truth of the matter. Yeah. And he has been public about how he wants to stay. Whether that's been true in private or not, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like that there's no way that you blow up that team without seeing what's up.
I mean, I definitely agree that they won't get rid of him unless it's like the summer and he's like, I have 1 year left, you know, Paul George me to a different place.
Yeah.
He has to force it, but like, you know.
But he could if he wanted to.
How deep did they need to go for him to not force it? Conference finals?
No, they need to get back to the conference semifinals. Okay. They need to win a round.
Okay.
Up next in the eighth spot, ladies and gentlemen, your Los Angeles Lakers.
Laker girls. the most, like, I just love the way that guy says that.
It's so good. Lawrence Tanter. Laker girls.
Are they good?
No.
The
Lakers are not yet a good team.
Yeah. I still think they're slightly schizophrenic.
Yeah.
About what they're doing, what this year is for.
Yes. Like, why haven't they worked on cleaning up their shot selection?
Like, yeah.
Why is Brandon Ingram so bad right now? I texted you a
tweet. Oh, yes. By the way, today. Was that released, those stats?
Yes.
Let's take a look.
And the tweet that I was texting.
Explain those.
I texted Chris, and the tweet said, real plus minus numbers were released for the first time today. Darius Soriano, Forum Blue and Gold owner, tweeted that LeBron, third overall, first among small forwards. Josh Hart, seventh of the 99 shooting guards ranked. Bad. Chris Grace's sell high candidate, Kyle Kuzma, is 87th of the 91 power forwards ranked in real plus minus. But also, Brandon Ingram is 78th of the 83 small forwards ranked.
Okay, so this is what I'll say about ESPN's real plus minus stat. And I love stats. They have never released what this actually is.
Oh, no, they did. It's a number. Can't you see it?
Yeah. They've never released the actual methodology behind this thing.
You're just mad that it's always rates Chris Paul high.
I am mad about that. But, well, because it... So it purports to be a stat that essentially eliminates the influence of the other teammates and the other team. It isolates your plus minus sort of independent of anybody else in the league. However, every single stat like this, John Hollinger's, what was his?
PER.
Win shares per 48, yeah. All these things, they all... act like they are objective stats, and then you dig into them, and they've got weighting going on,
yeah,
which a human being has decided. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to retrofit these numbers to sort of fit, tell you who was good in games past. However, I will say all of these, I would say the PER that John Hollinger put in was one of the first like popular ones of these.
Yeah.
They are miserable at predicting future performance.
Oh.
Like, they are horrible. So, like, PR they would put out, like, this is who we think is going to be like the top 100 players in this year. And like, they would be so off.
Yeah.
Their projections for all these things are bad. So I'll just say all that in the sense that, it is impossible sometimes to know like who is actually good or not.
Yeah. I mean, I don't trust Real Plus Minus for a different reason. It's because they made it after Hollinger had already left to go to the Grizzlies.
Ah.
So, you know, any new stat after Hollinger went to the Grizzlies is completely not worth looking at.
And the Grizzlies are good this year.
Grizzlies are good, baby. All hail John Hollinger's empire of statistics.
So, just for completeness, Lonzo is the 33rd out of 90 point guards.
I mean, and that's...
Which is worse than he was last year.
That is true. And this is, you know, I think a couple of games ago he might have been 27th.
Yeah, I mean, mostly his offensive real plus minus is about what it was last year, and his defensive is way worse.
Bummer.
So I don't know. Like, my issue with this stat is I can't figure out how they've calculated it, so I don't really have a strong feeling about how real these numbers are or not.
Yeah. I think you do have a strong feeling about how fake these numbers
are. Well, I think it's funny that one year, Jared Dudley was considered a better defender than Kawhi Leonard.
Oh, yeah. You know? I mean, because Jared Dudley is a lockdown defender. He's got a bandana.
What I mean is the gap between them wasn't big enough. Jared Dudley should have been way higher. But I do think I would love to see how the things are weighted, because Chris Paul is the eighth highest point guard in the stat this year.
Yeah.
And I would say there's not much of his stats to support that he's the eighth best point guard.
Oh, Chris Paul's so good. He's Chris Paul. He's, you know, he's got his brother's retired. He's twin at birth and State Farm and the crying Oscar robot.
Let me just look up Chris Paul's field goal percentage this year.
It's not great. He's at like 45. Not great for Chris Paul standards. He's at like 45. 40,
he's at 43%.
43. All right, great. Right, 43% is not a bad field goal percentage for a lead guard.
Yeah, it's the second worst of his entire career.
Yes. I called that. Take that.
What position does Seth Curry play?
Seth Curry is a backup Lou Williams.
Shooting guard?
He's a combo guard. He's not like big enough to be a two, but he's not handily enough to be a one.
Because his advanced defensive stats so far this year are great.
Yeah, I mean, he's part of the reason that they're playing so well up in Portland.
Yeah. So let's just, and also this is a small sample size, obviously. Let's look at the best defensive players in the league according to the stat.
Oh, okay. Let me guess. Number one is Mike Conley.
This chart doesn't want to sort itself.
Apparently. Dang.
I mean, did you see who the best player in the league is according to the stat?
Is it no? I'm just
you're going to love the answer.
I'm very excited. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
No.
Okay.
It is a big man though.
Ooh. Willie Cauley-Stein.
No, from your new favorite team.
Oh wow, Mark Gasol.
Mark Gasol is the best player in the league according to ESPN Real Plus Minus.
Great.
Real Plus Minus is 7.21.
That hey, and you know what? I can compare that number to something else of like. It's bigger than 4.64.
Yeah, I mean, that's also what the issue with this is. It's kind of a useless stat. Number two is Jokic.
Oh.
Who has a positive... So, like, this is where I wish we could dig into methodology, because some of the... When you hit upon comparisons that are sort of patently absurd, such as the idea that Nikola Jokic has a defensive real plus... Remember, this is supposedly isolating him from his teammates and every other player, right?
Yeah.
His defensive RPM is 2.1.
I mean,
which is
just
very high, I will say.
Saying these numbers, I just can't. There's just no meaning.
Yeah, there is no meaning. I will say that a positive defensive RPM like that in past years has been very high.
Great.
So that puts him as a better defensive player than, you know, Giannis. And almost everybody in the league. According to this, he's the 24th best defender in the league. Anyway, Kuzma's not doing well. Ingram is shooting really badly.
Ingram has had way rougher year than I thought he was going to.
Yeah. And I think when you watch the games, sometimes it doesn't seem like it because he still can put together a couple of gangly, exciting plays.
Yeah.
And he's still putting up 15 points a game. But he's like, he's had a lot of like horrific shooting nights.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't really get why we pushed the Brandon Ingram at point guard thing so much.
Yeah, it is not a good spot for him.
To me, it's a thing of like, cool, if he wants to bring the ball up every once in a while, sure. But like, I mean,
it doesn't feel like he can initiate the offense.
No, but and also why? Like, what do we get out of it, having him initiate the offense? Like, to me,
what you get is like a better playmaker initiating on the move. Right, which puts teams at a disadvantage because you're not trying to initiate from a standstill. Right, it's harder to initiate from, or it's harder to defend action being initiated from like a moving position.
You're saying that he, but are you also saying that once he gets rid of the ball, he's a threat for like alley oops and that kind of thing?
No, yes, that's not like the crux of what I'm trying to say. Is yeah. that like if Lonzo brings the ball up to try to initiate? Or if LeBron brings the ball up to try to initiate, it's easier to defend than if they were getting the ball coming off of a screen or getting the ball coming off of something. So, like, having Brandon Ingram bring the ball up to, like, give it to somebody who is going to create off of something else, I think might be, like, what they're trying to go for.
Yeah. To me, if he has the burden of bringing the ball up, it's just going to tire him out and make him shoot worse.
Yeah,
and because I don't think he's particularly good. He's fine at it, I guess.
Yeah, and his mid-range shooting has been horrifically cold this year.
We need the Lakers need like a Bezdelic for offense.
Okay.
To replace.
Ooh, I know exactly the guy. Mike D'Antoni.
There you go. Yeah, you know, we put a lot of trust into Luke Walton.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things you put a lot of trust in is the idea that he's good. Like, the idea that his shuffling of lineups and that his general, like, calm demeanor about, like, don't worry too much about it, and the assumption that he can handle veterans decently because he was in the league and they all know him and stuff like that. I'm still, like, sure, I'll give you that idea. But I would say everybody except Josh Hart from the young crew is playing worse than last year.
Yeah.
And, you know.
And he hasn't turned Svi into a knockdown shooter yet, and I'm upset.
Has Svi made any three-pointers this year?
Yes, Svi has made.
He's not made a ton.
No, I mean, he's played 20 minutes, you know, but.
And you never know. Svi might be somebody that, like, in an open gym, you're like, this guy's great. And then you're like, oh, he can't get open because he's too slow.
Svi's got the Ejion Lee empty chair workout on lock.
Yes. But I just hope that the young guys are getting... I'm a little worried about them.
That's fair.
In general.
That's fair. They're, you know, they're not... It doesn't feel like they're as promising as they were last year.
So, like... I am acutely aware of Lonzo. I often mistake LeBron and Lonzo's names for the same person. They're not the same player. But like even by this point last year, I think Lonzo had a couple triple doubles.
Yeah.
And you know, they had the benefit of like this year doesn't matter, you have a lot of playing time.
Mm-hmm.
That's not happening this year.
No.
So they are having to quote look good in a much smaller window of time.
Yes.
And in games that theoretically matter.
Yeah.
In a way that's maybe not helpful for a player that's trying to like learn how to play.
Yeah. Yeah, that's tough.
Because he's coming out of games with like 20 minutes of playing time sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, because when he's cold and, you know, other players are doing better.
Yeah.
You know, why not try to win that game? It's tough.
Because, wait, were you a math major?
Yeah.
Okay. Side quest for this podcast is for us to one day for you to explain to me the
hot hand theorem,
the revision of the hot hand theorem.
Yes,
because the you know Amos Tversky and I forget who the other guy was did a famous hot hand study that basically proved that there did not exist,
and then they did and wasn't then it was, like that their was, their methodology was flawed.
It was disproved theoretically by someone else, and mathematicians generally agree.
Yeah,
and I have read those, and I don't understand.
Yeah,
and I don't agree.
I'll have to reread it.
Yeah, but I do worry about like hot hand mechanics being applied to the Lakers this year. You know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they're worth hot handing. Like, I don't know if the Lakers are.
Yeah, like if Lance is hot, like, you still put him on the bench. Like, that's not a player. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, but here's the thing. Lance will take that shot from the bench. You know it.
Yes.
You know Lance is going to throw up
Lance,
those buckets.
Well, Lance brought his own ball.
It's true. It's true.
And is throwing it from there. It's one of those glow-in-the-dark, like, those, like, when they sold balls that were, like, you can play the street ball until, like, midnight.
Yeah, yeah. And you just get hit in the head with, a green ball. Because when it's dark outside and you try to catch that ball, it doesn't. Like, you can't follow it or track it the same way you track a ball in the daytime.
No, because you can't see the surface of the court.
Yeah, it's like, where is the ball coming from? Bounce passes are fucked up at night.
Yes.
Just, like, catching stuff at night, even if it's glowing, is harder.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Not for Lance Stephenson.
Not for Lance
Stephenson. Born ready.
It's nice because you get to multi-ball in the NBA in the second overtime. That's yes. when you can bring the second ball onto the court legally.
Yeah.
So we've tried to get to a couple of second overtime games this year, and it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, and from then you just keep adding.
Yeah, yeah. It's like in hockey with how it used to be that you would take players out in overtime.
Is that what happened?
I think they still do it, but it's not like progressive anymore. Like, it's not like you take a player out every overtime period.
I unfortunately have never been able to follow hockey. Even when they would show me on the TV... where the puck was.
Oh, boy. Everybody hated the fuck out of that.
I didn't hate it. I was like, I can at least follow the thing now. I always felt with hockey, I was like, I bet this would be fun if I was there.
Yeah.
But I can't see what's happening.
Is it fun or is it just cold?
Yeah, I don't know. Is it just cold and are you just getting drunk and yelling at people?
And welcome to your best friend's hockey podcast.
Well, what's funny is that, like, I think that the rise of basketball... Sure, it's like African American culture is influencing us more and more, and often to the better. And basketball is very cool, and you can see all the players; they don't have face masks and all of that. But it's also sort of a rise of the nerd, because basketball, like going to a basketball game, is not really like a let's all get drunk and like, except for the guys that kept landing on us last.
I mean, I'll have to show you some pictures of me at a Clippers game.
It doesn't feel like a Yankees game. Where it's like, this game is so boring, I have to get drunk.
Yeah.
I feel like the slice of the world that, like, scores baseball games, that is alive and well in the NBA.
Yeah, yeah, I could see that. We'll have to score some basketball games.
Can you? I bet we could.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So I think it's great. Oh, wait, do we keep going?
I mean... There are seven more teams. We just
got to we have to finish these because there are some serious teams here.
Yeah.
Next, we have the Houston Rockets.
That's right. The Houston Rockets are not good.
What is this based on?
The Houston Rockets are not good is based on the fact that any time that one of their players goes down,
yeah,
they can't hang.
Right.
Right? They're a mess. They ditched Carmelo, which was a good thing. I don't like the look of their team this year. I think that that's a no from me, dog. That's a no from me, dog.
My co-host, Randy Jackson. they're a little pitchy, you would say.
Yeah, just year. A little bit.
How's their defense looked since Bizdelic is back? Any better?
I don't think that he's technically back yet.
Oh, so not great. Or not any different, or nothing to do with him is what we'd say.
Yeah,
yeah, they're actually middle of the pack defensively, but yeah. I think they were very good last year. And their offense has fallen off.
Yeah,
and Chris Paul is part of that crew that has fallen off from last year, and maybe they'll all regress and regress to the mean by improving, but maybe not. Next, we got the Sacramento Kings.
Sacramento Kings.
I do not think they are good.
They are not good.
But I think that they had a wonderful first month or so.
I definitely think that they are going to be the best non-contending team in the West.
I think that the Lakers will be the best non-contending team in the West. I think that we're going to end up with the Lakers actually not being in the playoffs.
Ooh, now that's as spicy as it gets.
Well, because of my previously mentioned concerns.
Yes.
Next, we have the San Antonio Spurs.
Okay. The San Antonio Spurs are not good.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's be quite a year if they don't make the playoffs.
Yes. First time in many, many moons.
Because you could argue, where did they end up last year? Like fifth or sixth?
They ended up sixth. I can't remember. Seventh? Seventh. Eighth. Seventh. Because so they lost the Warriors.
Okay, so they were in the playoffs last year.
Yes.
And they lost Tony Parker, who was not, you know, great anymore. And they lost Manu.
Yeah.
But they didn't have Kawhi last year.
No, and they gained.
They gained DeMar.
DeMar.
So for them to miss the playoffs this year, it has to be considered a step back.
Yeah, and I mean they lost Murray for the first part of the season.
That's true. Yeah,
I think he's actually out for the whole season. I can't remember. But yeah, they took a step back, and that's not good. But you know, I don't know. I
shall cry no tears for the Spurs.
Yes,
they've been to the playoffs a jillion years in a row. Yeah. They have a wonderful organization. They have one of the best coaches in the league.
Yeah, they'll draft Zion Williamson, and it'll be fine.
Where's Zion Williamson going to go? Where's Mac McClung going to go?
No, dude. Well, McClung watch.
Next, we got a team that has fallen the fuck off.
Oh, my God. What Utah a Jazz. Weird. Did you see that Donovan Mitchell took, like, 35 shots the other night
with no assists or something?
Yeah and they lost by 20, and it's like what is going on in Utah right now?
Yikes
and more yikes.
What's Quinn doing?
I don't know. So as of right now,
Quinn, what you doing?
I am on the record as saying the Utah Jazz are not good.
You know, here's why I would agree with you. Because first of all, I think it's actually Donovan Mitchell's just having a second year. That's all that's happening.
Yes.
Like he's having a second year where people are taking him seriously, like from day one.
Yeah.
So that's happening. Right. And every player that age is, I think, still figuring out who they are. Now he did take 35 shots the other night. And then tonight he took 8. So he's still like, the game before he took 35, he took 9 shots. Tonight he took 8. In between, he took 35 and 21. Like, he doesn't know. They don't know what to do with him yet. He's still figuring himself out.
Yeah, and that's okay.
That doesn't worry me. What actually would worry me more about, like, tonight's game, they lost to Indiana, is that their leading scorer was Ricky Rubio. He went 10 of 13, which is not going to continue happening.
Yeah.
So, like, that's what I would worry about, that they don't quite know what their offensive identity is.
Yeah.
However, won't it be shocking if they're not as good as the Clippers by the end of the year?
Yes.
You would I will think be they very have a lot shocked. More talent.
Yeah, especially because, you know, it'd be very funny if, you know, they ended up in a first-round matchup with the Clippers and beat the Clippers again and just, like, deja vu to every time the Clippers lost the Jazz.
I mean, I think that if the Clippers ended up the 3 seed and the Utah was the 6th seed... you would still pick Utah. Like, no one's ever going to look at these two starting fives and be like, let me ask you this. I'm going to give you the Utah starting five and the Clippers starting five. And you tell me who you would take in each of these slots. Would you take Patrick Beverley or Ricky Rubio?
I'd take Ricky Rubio.
Okay. Would you take Shai Gilgeous-Alexander or Donovan Mitchell?
Donovan Mitchell.
Would you take Marcin Gortat or Rudy Gobert?
Gobert.
Would you take Avery Bradley or Derek Favors?
That's the wrong match slot. Well,
they're both started these last games as at the forward slot.
Ooh.
that was just a like groan of like
I don't know. I'd probably take Favors.
Or would you take Favors or Harrell, let's say?
I'd take Harrell.
Okay. And then Joe Ingles or Tobias Harris?
I'd take Harris.
All right. Well, there you go.
So 3-2.
And then I would probably take Lou Williams over Jay Crowder.
Yeah. Because I think Utah's bench has just been miserable this season. But
Mike Scott is still in the league?
Yeah. And he's been playing.
Is he like an old veteran point guard that has a weird like slingshot?
No, he's a like fourth or fifth year power forward. Who am I thinking of? Mike James? You're thinking of Mike James.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, Mike Scott used to play for Atlanta. He's the guy with the emoji tattoos. That's his big thing. And he was like
that's his thing.
Indicted on a drug charge that was like like a case of mistaken identity or something that was weird about it, or like
Where they thought it was Mike James.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly. Okay, they thought it was Kevin James.
Let me throw you another team.
Okay,
the Dallas Mavericks.
Dallas Mavericks are bad.
Yeah, but
God, are they so much fun to watch?
Yeah,
Everything about them is fun right now, and that's they feel like how the Lakers felt last.
They got Kevin Durant to yell at a fan.
Yeah.
The last team, actually, this is a genuine question. I'm not going to ask you, are they good? By the end of the season, will the Minnesota Timberwolves be good?
No. I'm saying no
here. I'm about to pull the trigger on those Prince jerseys, though.
Oh, they look really good. So many of these city jerseys, I want.
I actually really like the 76ers one. The gray.
It's funny. Yeah. Bad grades. A lot of controversy around that one. Yeah, I would buy it. I mean, but also, like, you know, I'd buy any jersey. Almost.
Don't love the Lakers ones.
No, those ones are garbage. They looked a lot better live than I thought they would. Uh-huh. But even then, like, I think if I wore it, I'd look like somebody who bought it at the Artesia Swap Mart. Swap Mart? Swap Meat.
In case you're wondering, the Minnesota Timberwolves City Edition is a tribute to Prince.
The Prince theme.
And Purple Rain. And it looks really cool. I just can't figure out which player I want to get, and I think I'm going to go Towns.
No. Don't go Towns.
Who am I going? I want to go someone who's going to be on the team.
Anthony Tolliver. You go Tolliver.
I almost would go Rose.
Go Nikola Pekovic.
And I will say...
Just get a Kevin Garnett one. I'm sure they have a Kevin Garnett one.
I'd get a Rubio one.
Okay.
Similarly tempting is the Minnesota Timberwolves City Edition Herschel Fanny Pack.
Ooh.
Which is Prince themed with the word wolves on it.
All right.
I almost want to get that. And then I saw that and I tried to find other City Edition Fanny Packs, and not all the teams are doing them.
Hey, you know what? That's because some of the city jerseys are bad, like the Mavs one.
Oh, I don't think I've seen that one.
Mavs branding has been off.
So the City Edition just seems kind of like... But they work with Nike on these, right?
Yeah. Nike, like, goes to each team and, like, well, what do you want to do? Oh. We have these ideas. What do you like? What's going on?
Actually, if there is a fanny pack for the Warriors, because the Warriors last year was kind of Chinese-y, but this year is very Chinese.
Very Chinese-y.
So, and that's the technical term.
Yeah.
And do we care at all about the East?
I mean, yes. I have one thing I want to talk about from the East this week. Kemba Walker.
Yes.
Kemba Walker, it's so funny because it took him a couple of years to put it together, but he has been consistently real good for like 4 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And get it, Kemba Walker. He is putting buckets on people, and it looks easy. Right, he scored 60 points on 32 shots.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the anti Kobe. You know, like Kobe's a 32 points on 60 shots kind of guy.
I prefer to call it the anti Donovan Mitchell.
Yes, yeah.
The anti Devin Booker.
Yes. Yeah. So good.
Well, you know what I attribute this to. The veteran leadership of Tony Parker, backing him up.
Tony Parker
putting pressure on the position.
Way better than I expected.
Protect your spot. He has actually playing very well. But Kemba Walker's
he went off for 60 against the Sixers, which is like numerologists rejoice. You know, 60 and Sixers.
Mm-hmm.
Would have been better if he went for 76, but you know we can't have it all. We're not Monte. He went off again today, and he ended up winning a game against the Celtics almost single-handedly.
Mm-hmm.
Kemba Walker is the real deal, and if he keeps playing like this, you got to put him in the MVP conversation.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if he drags them into the... a decent seed, he's got to be in there.
Yeah, I mean, because you know, there's a bit of an MVP void right now, right?
You think so?
Yes, I do. Because up at the top, it's LeBron, Giannis, and
AD.
AD. LeBron, Giannis, AD. It and feels, then Kemba is playing his way into that
it conversation. It feels like a year built for Giannis to win.
Yeah, I see that.
It seems, because it is a very much like a journalist narrative thing, it seems like this is the year Giannis should win.
Yeah.
So if they
Coach
stay,
Bud comes in and is like, Giannis, you gotta, Giannis, come on.
If they stay the number one seed, and he obviously will be the best player on the team, although Chris Middleton plays great.
Plays
so,
great. But Lopez plays great.
So, Brolo played great. But if he stays, if they stay number one and he's the best player on the team, I think it's a good year for him to win. I don't think LeBron's going to win. Like,
I also don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't, I just, like, he's playing great, but I don't know. There's, like, LeBron fatigue.
You know, the thing I was thinking before about the young players not playing well in the Lakers, at some point you have to confront the fact that the defense is way worse than last year's.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't think it's because of the young guys, because they were all here last year when the defense was quite good. So
yeah, I mean, we're missing our Brookie. We're now missing our Julius Randle, who
I will
wasn't
just
good
say
at defense.
That will say that that has nothing to do with the MVP conversation.
Yes.
So and AD, you know, but if the Pelicans sit in like the 7-8 seed, it'd be hard for him to win.
I agree.
Now I still think that I think there's a stealth Steph Curry argument.
I mean, he has not played enough yet this season. That's the problem.
Yeah,
is that he's been out for a couple of weeks, and now he's fallen off in statistical.
The more they lose
relevancy,
the more they lose when he's out.
Yeah,
and then if he comes back in and continues to hit, like if he continues to hit 10 three pointers a game, or take 10 three pointers and hit 7 of them or whatever.
Yeah,
you know, because the argument of having KD on the team is like a, you know, how can he be the MVP? He's got another MVP on his team. Although KD did win when Westbrook was on the team.
Yeah. But we all know who the real MVP was. You.
Who said that? Is that what he said?
You the real MVP.
You're also the man now, dog.
Yeah.
So, Kemba Walker, good for you. Maybe it's the guidance of Michael Jordan and Tony Parker. All that
new coach Borrego, James Borrego,
yeah,
came over from the Spurs.
It would be very interesting if at the end of the year Kemba Walker is the best point guard in the East, because I would say going into this year you'd assume it's a Kyrie, a Ben Simmons, even a John Wall-ish, Trae Young.
No.
I think not a ton of people would have put Kemba Walker at the top of that.
Yeah, I mean, but he is there so far this season.
He is there. And last thing I'll say about the East is I'd continue to be worried if I was a Celtics fan.
They don't look great yet. And, I mean, their defensive rating is tops in the league. Their offensive rating is garbage. Gordon Hayward doesn't look good. Let's check back in like 20 games with them and see if they still look this much like a garbage team.
Let's come back in 20 games and do is this team good for the East?
Yeah, yes. It's easier because there's not 14 fucking teams we have to go through.
Yes. Also, by the way, it's still ridiculous to say that the East is better than the West.
Yeah, because it's not.
All your stupid athletic hot takes. I think I'm still subscribed to The Athletic. I think I have to cancel that. What do we want to plug?
I wanted to plug something related to my band.
Oh, yeah. Unexpected development.
I mean, you know, my band is called Mighty Knight. It's me on vocals and my buddy John on guitar. And we play some indie music. Been playing around town.
Well, I missed all the gigs, and I guess there's no way for me to listen to any of your music.
Hey, wait a minute.
What?
There is now. We recorded some demos.
So this I would mail in a check to
you mail a check to my house, and then it's on the honor system, so you can go to soundcloud.com.
Oh, I had to mail in the check and then log into SoundCloud. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Soundcloud.com / Mighty Knight Band. That's Mighty like Mighty Mouse and Knight like the time you go to sleep, and Band. And then you can listen to our music. We got 4 songs up there, and you know, got some that are sad, some that are, you know, rock and rolly. It's a fun little sampling of the kind of stuff we play, and I'm pretty happy about it. So
that sounds awesome. Do you want to put in a snippet from one of those tracks at the end of this?
Oh yeah, I'd love to. That'd be great.
Fade in right now.
We're gonna hear 502. Yeah, the song's about Los Angeles.
And don't pirate this.
Yeah, please pirate this. That's all I want is to be a pirate.
To just like distribute to people. Yeah, and do you have any shows? It's Thanksgiving week.
It is Thanksgiving weekend, and I do have a show on Saturday.
Oh, what do you have?
Pitch Please is doing our monthly show full, and we are
expecting... These are long sets.
These are long sets, and we are expecting a full house of... as many people that are in town on a holiday weekend.
You never. To come out. Sometimes those are shows are decently attended.
Yeah, yeah.
I will be in Palm Springs. I will not be doing anything.
Just relaxing by the pool.
But anyway, you guys have a good Thanksgiving. Enjoy the rest of this song. Send it to all your friends. Mighty night.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for listening.
We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
There are monsters in the moonlight, still a stone and cold with rage. Mars forever craving concrete, stock and steel and stolen space. And as the sun breaks, we brave their backs to see the safety as they may. We can have one, but not the other. So we take numbers and shout.